Thank you. It is kind of nice sitting on this side listening. You know, I enjoyed that. But thank y'all for the fine work. I appreciate that. Our scripture this morning is found in Ezekiel, verse 36, chapters 22 through 28. Found on page 758 in your pew Bibles. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among these nations, and which you have profaned among them, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God. When though you I display my holiness before their eyes, I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I know some of you have already looked at the title of the sermon this morning, and said, oh shoot, he's going to tell his story again. But you know, a year after I had my heart transplant, I was in Lawn Memorial, and for some reason, Pam wasn't here, and TR was doing the children's sermon. And he was talking about a new heart. And he was telling them how, you know, people, bullies and everything else, they need to change with a new heart and have a new spirit within them. And that made me to think. I says, you know, the heart is mentioned a whole lot other than a physical heart. So I did some research. And I looked up, as all we do now, we Google, we go online. I looked at how many times is the heart mentioned in the Bible. Well, in the King James Version, and this is counting the New Testament and the Old Testament, the heart is mentioned 830 times. It's third in names used other than the Lord is number one and God is two. So heart is three. So I said, that is something I need to really think about. So let me begin, I'm going to short version this thing and tell you about my story in the transplants. It all began on September 1st, 2007. And it was a beautiful day, and it's normal. That was in the day I got a paper delivered at the house, and you went to the end of the drive and got it in the morning. So I got up early, headed down to the end of the drive, and we'll get to paper. Before I got to the end, I had run out of breath. And I said, now, wait a minute. This has never happened. Well, that day was going to be a big day. It ended up being bigger than I thought. But that was going to be a big day because ECU, was playing on national TV. And later on that day, we were going to have a surprise birthday party for Emily. So I said, well, I'm just too excited about all these things. I need to take a deep breath, gather myself, and get myself in order. So I got the paper. I went back to the house. Still didn't feel exactly right and told Sally. She said, well, do we need to go to the hospital? I said, no, I just need to get my mind straight and settle down. And I said, once the game starts, I know I'll settle down. Well, my friend from college just came over to watch it with me. We got there and it kicked off, and doggone, I started feeling worse. I said, well, something is wrong because the game has started and I'm not feeling any better. Sally and I went to the First Memorial. They ran an EKG and said, you know, what's showing an EKG, you must be having a heart attack. We're going to send you to Duke. Well, when I got to Duke, Duke was so great. They were all there waiting. The crew from the cath lab was waiting to take me. I felt like this was going to be good. And I've had in my mind, I said, well, you know, you're going to have a clot or two, and you'll be home in 2 or 3 weeks. They pushed me into the cath lab, and I don't remember a whole lot because I think they must have been giving me a little med to settle things down. But I remember right there at the end, this voice comes out on the speaker above me in that cold room, and it was behind a glass panel where the technicians were, and they said, "Mr. Humphreys, we want you to look at this screen one more time before we take you out." And I said, well, what do I need to see? And they says, "Your heart doesn't have any major clotting to make your heart do what it's doing." So I returned to ask, I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And a young man standing beside me, he says, "You are a very sick man." It ended up being, they diagnosed it later, as giant cell myocarditis. That is a rare disease that's very rare, and in most cases, over about 90% of the cases are resolved either in heart transplant or death. It's very deadly. Well, during the first few weeks, things would get a little better, and then it'd get a little worse, and back and forth. And I was in intensive care. And I know I had a lot of dreams and a lot of nightmares and this, that, and the other. As my family said, I was a little loopy during that time. Might still be. But as there's one dream, and it's a dream, vision, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's something that had changed, that would change my life forever. I was in this tunnel, and it was colors I had never seen in my life. I mean, they were beautiful. I couldn't describe them. Bright, clean, it was just peaceful in this tunnel. Somebody was with me, leading me down the tunnel. And I felt comfort there. We get to this loading ramp, or like a subway, it was two ramps. You go up to load where the train or whatever it was would go. And I turned as we got there, and I asked the person with me, I said, "Which ramp do I take?" And I remember the voice saying, "One ramp, you'll go somewhere, you'll be happy as you'll ever been in your life and at peace, and you will never regret going there. And the other ramp, you're going to get a heart." Well, I went up the ramp, and I'm a nervous type. You can see me now, I get nervous. But I went up. I made a decision. I went up the ramp after that peaceful saying that he gave me. And that was in this dream, when I got to the top of the ramp, the door opened, and then the dream ended. So I didn't know in the dream where I was. That message was sent to me, I'm a firm believer, by God. He wanted me to know, no matter what happened, even if I got a heart or if I went to heaven, there was peace. And I think that is where when we talk about heart, it's not only a physical heart, but it's a spiritual heart. We're all in a position that we can be renewed and our heart can speak and be new to us in our belief in God. So I wish everybody could have that feeling. You know, I'm the luckiest man in the world. I got a brand new heart, blessed for that. 20-year-old man from Michigan whose family on Halloween night made a decision that his organ would be shared with me. And I can't say enough. But I also have a new heart with a new spirit. I have felt what God's presence is, and I have been part of that, his blessings ever since. I cannot say enough about how much that has meant to me. There's one little thing that I'd like to read in this. This was in a book. When you leave the transplant program, they give you this red book, binder, and it has all the things that you can do, you can't do, and there's a whole lot more things you can't do and you can do when you're under the transplant program. Safe eating, safe hand washing, a list of all the medicines you take, and if you read those, you look like you're looking at a commercial on TV. You wonder why you take the medicine, because all the side effects would kill you. But you go through that, and by the time you get to page 32, you don't know why you're under this program. You just feel, whoa, all of these restrictions, all this, what's going to happen? Well, you get to 32, and I've got the page here. Right at the bottom, there is a line that has talked to me and led me in my way ever since then. And I'd like to share that with you. It's under daily activities. Don't forget the reasons that you got a heart transplant. To return to work or other daily productive activity. To spend time with family and friends and enjoy life. Take time to experience the simple pleasures of everyday life. We challenge you to go back to your community and to find some way to return to others the kindness shown to you by your donor family. What a message that we all could take, not only with a transplant program, but also when we receive that new heart from God and a new spirit. Thank y'all for your time, and I appreciate it. God bless you.